Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians tonight. The book of Philippians. We were there a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to head back there tonight. I skirted over a couple verses, and I want to take the time tonight to dwell on that. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to deal with some things tonight. It's going to be very practical. It's going to be, hopefully, it's an eye-opener on some things. We're just going to go through this, and actually we're going to go through a lot of verses as well to back these. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to bless tonight and be attentive to his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us again. Lord, what a blessing it was to hear all the blessings that the people have received, Lord, this past week and maybe this past month. And Lord, you give us blessings every single day, as it's been mentioned, and we're grateful for that. And Lord, again, we're thankful for the opportunities that you have given us to stand out and to be able to voice who we are. And Lord, we count that a privilege. And so, Lord, tonight, as we go through your word, we ask that you just guide us tonight. We ask that you would have us to learn what you would want us to learn tonight. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 8 and verses 9, and hopefully we can make some sense of this. Again, this is Paul talking to the church of Philippi. You already know all these things because we went through this thing. But verse number 8 is something that I want to deal with tonight, because Paul, again, he's winding down his letter to the church of Philippi, and I want you to notice what he says here. He says, finally, finally, meaning it's coming to an end, and I'm about to share something with you, And I want you to take this to heart, and I want you to gurgitate upon it. I want you to ponder on it, and I want it to be a part of your life. So he goes, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and of God of peace shall be with you. Now, what I left off with here a few weeks ago, I said a saying that went like this. This verse here is talking about the holiness of Jesus Christ. And we're going to explain some things here tonight, because it gives a list of who Christ is and what he stands for. And really, you can say these are his characteristics. And if these are Christ's characteristics and we are his children, we are believers, we belong to him, these two should be a part of our life. And so we need to apply these to us as well. So first of all, it says, whatsoever things are true. One of the things that I need to point out here tonight, Jesus is the truth. Amen? We can take that to the bank tonight, knowing that Jesus, the one that we serve tonight, is the truth. And there's a reason why I say that, because not all people believe that Jesus is the truth. I had a conversation again with Bill this past Sunday, and it's just floored me on how he's talking about how his neighbors are saying that they believe God and Jesus are sinners. Well, they haven't been told the truth. They haven't been told exactly who it is. And I say this for a reason. I pray for him and pray for his neighbors so that they can be the witness that they need to be to them, because they need to know who Jesus truly is. And so Jesus is the truth. Well, how long has he been the truth? Well, go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter number 1. We're just going to go over some simple verses tonight that we all know, but we need to read these things and see these things with our very eyes. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so that's telling me that this is talking about our friend, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Same was in the beginning with God. Jump down to verse number 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh, talking about Jesus Christ at this point in time, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, and what's that last two words? And truth. So we can recognize tonight that Jesus is a man, is our Savior, full of truth. He is very truthful in our... I tell you what, that's exciting for me to see and to begin to understand those things. So Jesus, from the very beginning, has been full of truth. And that's a big thing for me to say tonight, because examine your own life, if you would. Because, again, the Bible is a mirror as we look into it, and this really shows us who we are. Remember the other night I told you we need to take an autopsy of ourselves and begin to look about how we really are, how we treat things, and how we view things in our life? Well, this is what we need to do with us as well. Have we always been truthful? Have we operated in those realms all the time? And we can all probably say, no, Chad, I haven't always been truthful in my life. I haven't acted that way all the times, and that's to my shame. And we're all guilty of those things. But Jesus is very truthful. He is the truth, and nobody can take that away from him. And that is a title that he has in his life, and that's a title that is going to be his forever. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 13, verse number 14. So with that being said, since Jesus is the truth, should it not be important when it comes to men standing behind the pulpit, should they not be teaching the truth of Jesus Christ? Amen? Should they not be teaching the truth of Jesus Christ? That's why we got to be so careful when we fall into some men that think that they're preaching Christ, but they're not. We need to be concerned that we're getting the truth from the man behind the pulpit, because, again, our society has changed a lot. It's not the society that I knew when I was growing up. It's just not that way. And so even now, as the years go by, the salvation message is down so drastically. People think, come to church, you're going to receive salvation. And so it's important, since Christ is the truth, since Jesus is the truth, then when the man stands behind the pulpit, that word should be spoken in truth. And not man's opinion, but coming from the Word of God. So we see in John 1 that Jesus was truthful from the beginning. He came to us in flesh form and gave us the Word. Now we turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I told you to go there, and I'm not there myself. I got sidetracked. But I will get there very quickly. And I hear some people turning, and they didn't turn there just as fast as I did. Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 13 through 14, we're going to read. And actually, let's start in verse number 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So as I begin to read this, and as I begin to understand this, because of the truth of God's Word, because of Jesus being truth, and because the Word of God being who Jesus is, we, because of this, have now been able to hear of what the gospel of salvation has meant. And so because of this, salvation came from the truth of the Word. And because of this, we can also take this and apply this in areas. We are sealed until the day of promise, amen? Meaning that my salvation, there's nothing that I can do with it. I'm not going to lose it. It's in Christ's hands. I'm sealed until those days, and I thank God for that. So salvation came from the truth of God's word here. Go ahead and turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 16. And I just hit on this just a little bit ago. Just kind of give you a little bit of an introduction of what was taking place. So in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22, verse number 16, we will read the importance of Jesus being the truth here. Verse number 15, it says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. See, they wanted to trip Jesus up. They wanted to try to get him to say some things that he shouldn't be saying. But here's what verse number 16 says. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. And so we see here, because Jesus is the truth, his word is the truth, now because of that, he teaches the truth. And it's important for you and I to understand, especially when it comes for us that stand behind the pulpit, or you stand in front of your classroom, or however you do it. If you sit down, that's fine too. But it's important for you to understand that when you're giving the message of Jesus Christ, make sure that you're doing it in truth. Why? Because Jesus is truth. And that needs to get across in a big way. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 8. The book of John, chapter number 8. We'll be doing a lot of flipping here tonight. Book of John, chapter number 8. And we'll read a couple of verses here. Verses 31 through verses 32. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Now, how were they able to believe on Jesus? It's not because he's a false God, is it? Because he's a true God. Amen? And that's important for us to get out of this. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we see here the importance of this is knowing Jesus is to know the truth. If we don't know who Jesus is, then we have no idea what the truth is. Amen? And that's just a fact of the matter. And so we need to know who he is and begin to develop to have a relationship with him and begin to have a desire to have a walk with him in those things. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 86. Psalms chapter 86. And after this, I'll slow down with the turning of the pages here. But Psalms chapter number 86. Someone say amen on that one? I thought I heard someone say amen to that one. I got good ears. I got hair in my ears. Those are like little antennas. If you guys are here in Sunday school, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, the book of Psalms chapter number 86, we read here in verse number 11. It says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth." So we see here David here at this point in time, he's praying. And one of the things that he's praying for, he's saying, "Teach me thy way." Well, David thought it was important for him to be taught in the truth of who the Lord is, what he stands for, and what he wants for him. And so David desired to be taught in his way. And there's a reason David had that desire. And that desire should be the same desire in our life. And it goes on just like this. It says, "O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Come down when it comes to talking about Jesus, that he is the truth, that he is true. It is one of his great attributes. The final thing that I'm tonight with is we should be walking in the truth. Amen? You know, folks, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be right down to the bone here. You cannot walk in the truth if you don't pick up your word and read it. Amen? That's impossible. You have to have that desire, and I'm not trying to beat you over the head. Hey, you need to read your Bible every single day. But if you don't read your Bible, you're not the truth. You're not going to know who God is. You're not going to be able to know what the truth is. And so it's important for you to have that relationship with him. This was important for David. David had that desire. David didn't want to walk in the way that he's seen other people walk. David also, you got to remember this. What did David do? David slipped up, and he knew what his failures did to him. And he knew because of his failures that it took him away from the truth. It took him from having that fellowship with the Lord that he so desperately desired. And so David here, he's saying, "Lord, teach me thy way. I want to know your way. I want to know who you are. I want to know how you think. I want to know everything that I can possibly know about you. And Lord, for this very reason, because I want to walk in thy truth." And that was important to David. And I tell you what, if that's important to David, boy, it should be important to us as well. Matter of fact, it's in the Bible. It should be important to us. But anyway, go back to your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and we'll go over these other things as well. So we see here that we're continuing on talking about the holiness of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that we see here is that Jesus is true. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." That's a good report to have, isn't it? Whatsoever things are true. You know, there's nothing false that they could accuse Jesus of. You know, they tried to accuse him of wrongdoing. They tried to accuse him of those things. But at the end of the day, Jesus was what? He was true. He was truthful. Now it goes on, and you can kind of put these two in the same category. It says, whatsoever things are honest. Boy, this one kind of hit me in between the eyes because, you know, even though it's been a short life of mine, haven't lived that long yet, so it is short. So I begin to realize that I haven't always been honest. I've always tried to, there's something that I didn't want to do that I know that I should have done, I would go about it in a dishonest way. And I begin to realize that's not the way to operate. You know, we need to remove our old way of thinking and begin to put on the right way of thinking and begin to go down the right path that God wants us to go down. It says, whatsoever things are honest. Do you realize that not only is Jesus true, but Jesus is honest? I dealt with an individual this week at work, and I was kind of mean to him, but I had kind of the right to be mean to him. And I know you probably don't think I have a mean bone in my body, and I really don't. I'm like a teddy bear. I really am. And, needless to say, I was at this gentleman's place on Monday trying to get some money out of him because he owed us some money, and he made several promises to us. He didn't come through on the promises, and normally when that happens, they send me out there, and so I go out there, and I got to do my job. And so I visited him with him Monday, and I said, okay, sir, you know, you've done this many times right here, up in here, and here, and this is the last straw. He goes, okay, I'll be down today. He goes, I promise you I'll be down today. I go, okay, you know, I'll work with you. That's fine. Well, yesterday morning I wake up, I go to work, and what do I see in my work orders? I see that same gentleman's address, the same name, and kind of made me mad a little bit because I don't like being lied to. I don't like it when people are dishonest to me. And so I go back up to his house, and I sat in front of his house for about 10, 15 minutes with my lights flashing. I wanted him to know that I was there. And I sat a little bit too long. But anyway, I begin to get out and do my job. He comes out after 10, 15 minutes of me just sitting there. He comes out and goes, what are you doing? I said, sir, I'm disconnecting your services. He says, why are you doing that? He goes, I paid. I go, no, you didn't. So I grabbed my work order. I said, sir, you're dishonest to me here. You're dishonest to me here. And you're dishonest to me here. And you're being dishonest right now. And I got to do my job. And I got to disconnect your water. But me being a nice guy, guess what I did? He said, sir, he goes, I'll go down there right now. I said, I'll give you a half hour. I gave him one more chance to be honest. And you know what? He was honest. He went down and he got everything taken care of. But honesty is a great attribute to have because once someone figures out that you're not an honest person, more than likely, they're going to have a hard time trying to tell you some things. And they won't be able to trust you, and they won't be able to go to you when they want to go to you because they might think that you might spill whatever they have put upon you. And so honesty is a great attribute to have. And so whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, Jesus in his life was honest. Jesus did not mistreat anybody. Jesus did not lie to anybody. Jesus was as honest as he could possibly be. And he did so his whole entire time while he was here on earth and still performing it to this day. And so we can serve an honest God. Now, if we put our faith and trust in man, what's that tell us? We're in trouble, exactly. One, they're not truthful. Two, they're not honest. But we serve a God who is true, and we serve a God who is honest. And I tell you what, that is, that's the word that's coming to my mind right now is awesome. And so because he knows how important it is to be honest, he wants us to be honest as well. And he shows us a place in Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter number 6. Book of Acts, chapter number 6, verse number 3. Now, this is when the disciples were at their wits' end. The church was growing very drastically. They had some great needs that needed to be fulfilled. They couldn't give their time to the proper study that they needed to have to give the gospel. They didn't have the proper time to spend in prayer because the church was growing. And so there's other needs that needed to be met with the people. And so it goes on in verse number 1. It says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of what? Honest report. And here this is talking about a group of deacons that were going to serve in a church. And we got to understand something here. The disciples knew what they were talking about at this point in time because they spent some time with Jesus Christ. They knew what it meant to be true. They knew what it meant to be honest. They had a great example that was in front of them. And so one of the key things when it came to going out and be able to pick up these deacons at this point in time, one of the things that they needed to have was an honest report. You didn't want to put somebody in office who wasn't honest in their dealings. You didn't want to put a crook in there, would you? And so they had to go out and find men who were of honest report. People talked well about them. They represented themselves very well. More importantly, they represented Christ very well. And so they came out and they found some men to fulfill these roles. So honesty is important to Jesus Christ, so much so that he instilled that into his disciples before he left. And now his disciples have picked up on that, and they went in and they picked men of good, honest report. And that is a great quality to have, because the last thing that you want to have somebody in an office of the church is somebody who to be dishonest. Think about it. Would you want somebody coming by, taking our offerings on Sunday morning, and they're dishonest? No, you want a man that's got a good report about him. You want a man that you know is not going to steal that money as they're walking out these doors. You want a man who's honest. And so we don't want to put people in positions if they don't have a good, honest report about them. And so this is a great quality to have. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. In the 13, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll read a verse here. In verse number 7. And now the next step in honesty goes a little bit further here. It says, now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So the thing here, when it comes to living, when it comes to being in front of people, we shouldn't want to be living evil, but instead we should be rather living an honest life. Being truthful about who you are and being honest about what you do, where you go, who you serve, and whatnot. And so honesty is a great attribute to have in your life. Okay, go ahead and turn back to the book of Philippians again. Book of Philippians, again, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Okay, these are two things, talking about Jesus here. Now it says, whatsoever things are just. Do you realize tonight we serve a God who is just? Amen? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 17. I won't dwell on this one very long. The book of Acts, chapter 17, we will read something here. And there's a reason why God and Jesus, there's a reason why they are just. And because they are just, there are certain things that they don't put up with. And so when something happens, something's got to be done. Verse number 31 of chapter number 17, it says here, because he hath appointed a day in that which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. It says, but because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in his righteousness. You know, Jesus, the only way that he can judge the world in his righteousness is because he is just. And because he is righteous and because he is just, he doesn't put up with sin. No different than a mom and dad who has a little girl or a little son at home and they begin to do bad. What does mom and dad do? They correct them. They don't want them going down that path. They want them to live the right life that they should be living, so they correct them. Well, Jesus is just, and he doesn't put up with sin. And because of this, he will judge the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And I tell you what, that's a day that I fear for a lot of men. I really do. I don't fear for I fear for the men who have rejected him, who have put him off for the whole entire life, because this is going to be a day that is not going to be very good for them. And now he is truth, he is honest, he is just. Go ahead and turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 4 again. You should have the book of, Philippians, I'm sorry. Should be just going right to it anymore. Now it says here, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Do you realize tonight, and I know I'm talking to the choir here, but we serve a pure Heavenly Father. We serve a pure Jesus. And purity is important to him. Again, he's pure. You can't find no wrong in him. Again, as I said this past Sunday night, take out those surgeon tools. Begin to open yourself up and begin to self-examine yourself and begin to do an autopsy in yourself. And say, am I someone who is truth? Am I someone who is honest? Am I just? And am I pure? Purity means a lot to him. Turn your Bibles again to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. Jesus wants us to live a pure life. So much so that Paul even is telling the church of Corinthians here of the standard of living should be in our life. And the reason why there should be a standard in a believer's lifestyle is because, again, folks, we no longer represent ourselves. We represent Christ. Amen? And because of that, we need to live a pure life. So verse number 18, as Paul is talking to the church of Corinthians here, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And so he wants us to flee fornication for this very reason, so that we could live a pure life. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, just a few chapters over, and we'll just kind of rehearse this once again. Verse number 1, chapter 5, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, why do we need to follow God? Well, first of all, we have to understand that in order to follow, one of the reasons to follow God is so that we can learn how to begin to live a pure life. Folks, do you see the importance here right now? Can we live a pure life without opening up this Word? Can we? See, again, it's important for us to see what the Word of God has for us. And so we need to begin to look at these things. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Okay, so why should we live a pure life? First of all, is because we need to flee fornication. The second reason why we need to live a pure life is because we are saints. That is a title that is given to every single believer. Now, we look at each other, we examine everybody's life, and let's be honest, we do this because we're human, and we sit there and say, oh, so-and-so's not a saint. I know what he did last Tuesday night. And that's what we do. But God has given us a title because we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and now he sees us as saints. And so because he sees us as saints, we don't see each other that way, but because he does, we should have that desire within us to live a pure and holy life. Amen? That's important for him. If Christ was able to come here and to be able to go through all the things that he was tempted of, he was tempted far above any other man has ever been tempted, but yet he remained pure. Amen? He did not give in to sin. He didn't give in to the temptation. He remained to live a pure life. What he was showing us at that point in time is, I can do it. You can do it. Well, he's God. Well, first of all, we got to understand something. He was also 100% man. He could have fallen those traps. He could have sinned. But he didn't. But yet he remained to live a pure life. He wants us to live a pure life. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. I told you I wasn't going to have you turn it much, but I guess I wasn't very truthful or honest on that part. But in Psalms chapter 51, grumblers. Psalms chapter 51, let me find it here. Verse number 10. Again, this is a Psalm of David here. Here's what David says. First of all, back up to verse number 9, because verse number 9 is important for us to see. It says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Then he goes on and says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why was David at this point in time asking God to create in him a clean heart? Because he knew exactly what it meant to be pure. See, David gave in to temptation. David gave in to a sin. And because of this, there was a moment, and I don't know how many moments were in David's life, to be honest with you, but there was a moment where David wasn't pure. There was a moment because of his impurity, his relationship with the Lord was not the same. And so David wanted to get back to having that relationship with the Lord. No different than a mom and dad that has a child that's disobedient. Again, I use that illustration a lot because it's important to understand this. You don't stop loving a child. God at this point never stopped loving David, not once. God was always there for him, just like as a parent, you still love your kid. You still want to be there for him, but there's something different. It's not until when that child comes to you and say, Mom, Dad, what I did was wrong. And I want to seek and ask you for forgiveness in my life. And then at that moment, that relationship that they had comes back. And David missed that relationship with the Lord. He knew that what he did in his life was not right, and it took him away from having fellowship with the Lord, so he wanted to have his heart clean. Folks, if that is you and I tonight, I encourage you to have God cleanse your heart, because he will. Purity. Lovely is the next thing. Go ahead and turn your Bibles again to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians again, chapter number 4. I only hear a few pages turning. You guys, your fingers must be getting tired. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. I had a little bit of a difficult time with this one, to be honest with you. I got to tell you a story, because I was at the gym this morning, and for some reason they have a religious channel on there. They have all these other news networks, you know, the great ones, CNN, Fox, and all these other things, you know, all these things you want to watch. They have the news on there because there's a lot of elderly people there in the morning. They need a lot of breaks. That was funny, folks. And I was there thinking, what's he meaning by lovely here? I understand that this is a great attribute to have. But I don't think Jesus was necessarily concerned about looking beautiful. Because that's one of the first things I begin to think about, lovely. Well, somebody looks beautiful. And I don't think that's what he was representing here in this. And I begin to look at this religious channel, and I begin to see this lady on television. And I'm not going to give her name. It's not important for me to give her name, because it doesn't do you any good. But I tell you what, this lady has done so much to herself to try to make herself look lovely. And all I ever saw as I began to look at her was the Joker from Batman. That's all I can see because of how her lips were going and everything. I was like, wow, man, that's okay. You want to spend that kind of money? That's fine. You want to look like the Joker. But anyway, I began to understand what this began to mean. Because God began to mean at this point in time. What Paul is talking about here is whatsoever things are lovely. Jesus was lovely not in his outward appearance and how he looked towards people, but he was lovely in his actions, on how he constantly wanted to glorify his Father. Tell you what, that's lovely when you begin to think about that. He was constantly lovely in his actions. He was lovely on how he treated people, how he treated others, and how he reacted to certain situations. Think of the situation. The woman who had that blood disease for probably about 12 years. What does she do? She sees Jesus in the crowd. She walks behind Jesus. She touches the hem of his garment, and instantly she's healed. And Jesus turns around and says to her, what's those words? He didn't yell at her. He said, woman, what are you doing? No, he turns around and says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, he responded to her in such a lovely way, and a grateful way, and really respected her and showed her respect at this point as well. The last thing we're going to look at here tonight is whatsoever things are of a good report. And I won't dwell long on this, but Jesus had a good report about himself. You know, we've been going over the book of Samuel for the last, seems like the last year, amen? It's coming to an end. Well, one of the things that I've really gotten out of the book of Samuel when it comes to David, what did David do? David behaved himself wisely. That's one of the things that David is known for. Jesus had a good report in how he carried himself. Jesus had that report because Jesus carried himself very wisely. Again, take out that scalpel, take out those surgeon tools, and begin to open yourself up and say this: can people find a good report about me? When it comes down to the end of the day my life might be over, so what are people going to say about me? Are they going to say that this man that stood before us was truth, was honest, was pure, lovely? Are they going to be able to say those things about you? Are they going to be able to say those things about me? See, at the end of the day, they tried to accuse Jesus. They tried to shame him, but they couldn't. They had nothing against him. They would make things up. They would do things to bring him down. But at the end of the day, Jesus stood tall with a good report. I tell you what, that is some great attributes and characteristics that you and I need to have in our life. Then it goes on and says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, this, I tell you what, just this verse here is so much, there's so much packed into here, and I barely touch just a little bit of it. And honestly, I can deal with this for the next couple weeks, but I won't, because you guys might get tired staying here for 2 weeks in a row. Jesus had a good report. They accused him, but they found no fault in him. Again, what do people see about us? What can they accuse us of? And what will they be right about? Kind of scary when you begin to think about those things. But go back and seek God for forgiveness. Start where we need to start once again. Living that life that he wants us to live. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the great example that you have been in our life. Lord, I know that we don't follow your example all the time. I know we don't always follow your way of teaching. So Lord, please forgive us where we fail you. Lord, I pray tonight that these words would not fall upon deaf ears. Lord, I pray tonight that we would contemplate on them, we would ponder them, we would seriously take them to heart and regurgitate them throughout the next few days. Bless us as we leave from here. Bring us back safely this coming Sunday, and we ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.